So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
It's great to be along with you for another edition of the show. We have a lot to sort out today as we get into everything that happened yesterday in sports, just yesterday, with what we're going to call here on the first part of this show, the world's longest sportscast. Technically, it's not the longest sportscast in the world, but it's going to feel like it. Because we're going to be able to go through everything. You know, I get about 3 minutes for sportscasts in the morning, so now I'm going to add about 17 minutes to that. What do you think about that? We're going to run it down right here. Of course, on KMOX yesterday, you had the St. Louis Billikens. We will hear that. We're going to hear from Josh Schertz on the show today. Yes, this is the home of the St. Louis Cardinals, and we'll hear from Chaim Bloom on the show today at 11:30, President of Baseball Operations. Yes, this is the home of Bernie Miklas, and we're going to hear from the Hall of Fame columnist on the way. At 11:45, he's a member of the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame in various halls and credentials. He is Bernie, man. He's going to be with us at 11:45. The Hall of Fame broadcaster for Indiana University, Don Fisher. There's no one better than him in college sports. And the voice of the Hoosiers is going to join us at 11:15 to talk about our Indiana Hoosiers. He and I are among hundreds of thousands, millions actually, who are pulling for this team to win a national championship. They take on Miami on the 19th. Don Fisher with us at 11:15. And, of course, we'll talk some Blues. They were in the news yesterday. A lot going on. So we're going to get into all of it here right away, plus the U.S. Figure Skating Championships going on at Enterprise Center, and on it goes. Let me start with actually the Bears. I think that's what a lot of people are talking about today. Two things. One, that the Packers had an absolute collapse last night at Soldier Field, and two, that the Chicago Bears are still alive. The Bears were down 21-3 at halftime. The Bears were down 27-16 with was under 7 minutes to go. They score a touchdown and add a two-point conversion, which was key. Because it gave them an opportunity, if they were to score again, to go up by 4 points and force the Packers, who could not kick a field goal, McManus missed two of them, into having to score a touchdown to beat them. And it's exactly what happened. Down in this ball game, it was 27-24, and the Bears are driving again with Caleb Williams. And he has a chance to put the Bears on top. The call on Westwood One, Ryan Radke and Mike Golick.
First down and 10. Williams will line up in the shotgun. He's got Swift to his left. Three receivers out to the left side of the formation. Burden in short motion. Williams gets the snap. Four-man rush. Pumps to his left. Goes deep. Got a man open. It's Moore. He's got it. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Bears. Touchdown, Bears. DJ Moore. Caleb Williams with a strike. And the Bears have taken the lead with 1:43 to go. A 25-yard touchdown. And the Bears lead 30-27.
Carrington Valentine, the cornerback, got beat to the outside. Evan Williams, the safety, couldn't get over to help in time. DJ Moore absolutely wide open. Caleb hits him in stride.
Now Cairo Santos for another big PAT. Here's the snap, the spot, the kick from Santos. It is good. And the Bears lead is 31-27 with 1:43 to go. Their first lead since it was 3-0. And the Chicago Bears, who six times during the regular season won a game when they trailed with less than 2 minutes to go, have taken the lead in their playoff opener.
This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yes, it is, but there is still time for the Packers. This Green Bay team, which failed in the second half to score more than 6 points, does have a chance here, down by four, and Jordan Love, their quarterback, is moving him down the field. He's moving the chains. He gets it down to the Chicago 28, and this is how it sounded on Westwood One.
Three receivers left, two right. Love gets the shotgun snap. He dropped it. Back to pass. Love in trouble. Spins out to his left. No time on the clock. Moving right. Steps up. Love looking. Still looking. He's going to throw it up to the end zone. Intercepted. No, it's dropped. It doesn't matter. The game is over. It's all over. The Chicago Bears, for the first time since 2010, have won a playoff game. The drought is over in the Windy City. Bears 31, Packers 27, and the Bears will host the divisional round next week. The Chicago Bears, down 21-3 at halftime, rally back and win it. The Bears will play on. The Packers are done.
Called by Ryan Radke on Westwood One, the Chicago Bears are moving on to the divisional round, and not only are they playing another playoff game, they're hosting another playoff game at Soldier Field in January. 31-27, Caleb Williams, terrific. Ben Johnson, under pressure, gets the great play calls out there to Williams and his receivers, and they make it happen. And Williams is a winner. What a quarterback, and what a team the Chicago Bears team is, with a horrendous defense in the first half. But they lock it down in the second half and find a way to win. This Bears team has some magic to it. And they win 31-27 over the Packers. As for Green Bay, a lot of speculation, a lot of anger right now among Packers fans, and some talk that it is possible the Packers could move on from their quarterback, their coach, Matt LaFleur. Green Bay has to make a decision here as to whether they're going to extend LaFleur or let him go. And Adam Schefter connected the dots today on ESPN, saying that John Harbaugh, who was recently fired by the Ravens, does have connections to Green Bay. The former president of the Packers, and there is a connection there. Mr. Harlan, his son Brian, is John Harbaugh's agent. You have Harbaugh owns property in Wisconsin, and there could very well be a change. We'll see if that does take place up at Green Bay for the Packers, or if LaFleur hangs on to the job. And by the way, LaFleur is not a bad coach. I mean, if he gets fired by the Packers, he'll move right up the list as one of the top candidates to land a job somewhere else in the NFL, because there are a lot of vacancies right now, as you know. The Rams beat Carolina. It was not supposed to be this close, but it came down to a final moment for Matthew Stafford, who is a clutch player. He has been a good quarterback in his career, and he connected with Colby Parkinson on a 19-yard touchdown with 43 seconds left in the game to come back and beat Carolina 34-31. Harrison Meavis, the thicker kicker, with the extra point to make it a three-point game. And then Carolina could not finish it off. They played valiantly, but lost to the Rams 34-31. So L.A. survives. The top seeds will play the lowest seeded team remaining. So it's still unknown what those matchups look like. We've got to get through today and tomorrow's NFL playoff schedule first. Buffalo at Jacksonville today at noon. Scott Jago should be pacing in the newsroom at this point. The Bills fan is waiting to see what they're going to do at Jacksonville. We'll have our NFL picks at 11:05 for you. San Francisco at Philadelphia, that kicks off at 3:30. The Eagles have been very good at home throughout their postseason history, especially with this current regime, and they are the defending Super Bowl champions. The Chargers at New England, the new kids on the block, the New England Patriots. These are not your father's New England Patriots. This is the Mike Vrabel era, and the Patriots are led by Drake May, their outstanding quarterback, taking on Justin Herbert and the Chargers tonight in Foxborough. And then tomorrow, Aaron Rodgers, who is your father's quarterback, will be playing for the Steelers, taking on Houston, 7:15 kickoff on Monday Night Football in the playoffs, and then we will know everything that sorts out for the divisional round. We'll talk it over at 11:05. I'll give you my picks against the spread, of course, for the four games remaining in the playoffs. As I mentioned, Don Fisher, the voice of the Hoosiers, joins me coming up at 11:15, right after that, to talk about the college football playoff national championship in Miami, the Miami Hurricanes, and the number one Indiana Hoosiers. Yesterday in Philadelphia, St. Louis University taking on LaSalle. I looked at this as a trap game after that emotional win over VCU, and LaSalle plays in that little gym. You really have to be careful here and make sure that nothing crazy happens to you. Well, something crazy did happen, and it happened on this play. Slew with an unbelievable player in Kellen Thames.
They brought in their seven-footer, by the way, stolen away by Thames. Does he keep it in bounds? Between the legs for Q to the lane. Screen by Thames. Layup, Jones. What else can Kellen Thames do? The ball was going out of bounds. He fell out of bounds, flipped it back to midcourt between his legs.
But he did it beautifully. His legs, as he flew through the air like he was jumping over a hurdle, and he flipped the ball between his legs, Harlem Globetrotter style, to Quentin Jones for the layup. What a great call by Bob and Earl, and what a moment for the Billikens as they had the lead at that point, 33-22. It was 40-22 after this.
Here comes Kellen. He got hit. Scoops it to the corner. Sharma. Bang! Instant Sharma's going to get you.
Kellen doing a nice job of drawing the defense, not trying to take too much.
Yeah, Thames is involved in every play, it seems. He penetrates, kicks it out, he makes acrobatic saves, he throws down windmill dunks. He is the straw that stirs the drink for this Billikens team. I used to say that about Avila, but Avila is the star, he's the face. Thames is the X factor, the one that they didn't have last year. After all of his cramping issues, that was a big loss for them. Now you see him back, and he is an incredible athlete. You can't stop him when he's going downhill. You just can't. I mean, they have a real difficulty doing it. And if you try to stop some of these penetrating Billiken players, you're going to be left with Ravi Avila floating around the three.
Penetrates back to Ravi. Out on top. Bang! Ravi Avila!
6 foot guard doing a nice job drawing the defense, kicking it to the 6'10 center.
And the Billikens take a massive lead there, 56-38. They let LaSalle back into it a little bit, but they end up winning this game by 12. Final score was 84-72. With that win, the Billikens are now 15-1 overall and 3-0 in the A-10. They do have one issue, which we'll talk to Josh Schertz about here at the bottom of the hour, and that is fouls. They are fouling a lot. They've got to get that calmed down somehow. McCautry had 4. Avila had 4. Otieno had 4. Green had 3. Sharma had 3. They got to settle down on the fouls. The foul discrepancy is just a little much at this point. LaSalle shot 39 free throws to St. Louis's 22 attempts. LaSalle missed 13 free throws, though. They were 26 of 39, and the SLU was 16 of 22. Big difference there. The Billikens get the win, 84-72. Speaking of free throws, Missouri had trouble knocking theirs down. They were only 50% from the line last night in a loss at Ole Miss, 76-69. St. Louis looks good and looks like the best team in the state to me. Mizzou, I thought, could have made a statement last night and said, do not forget about us. We're 3-0 in the SEC. Well, that didn't happen. They dropped one at Ole Miss by a final of 76-69. Illinois is the best team in the entire region. They're the 16th ranked team in the country, but they'll have their hands full today. 11 o'clock tip coming up here against Iowa. If you want to catch that one while you're listening to us, it'll be on Fox. We invite you to do that, of course. Illini and Iowa today at 11 o'clock. Elsewhere in college basketball yesterday, it was Morehead State beating SEMO 71-69. Arkansas Little Rock topped Lindenwood 82-74. Missouri State a win over Florida International 79-71. UIC beats Illinois State. Redbirds lose again in overtime 63-59. Meanwhile, the Blues, they fell at Vegas. Final score was 4-2 in that one. They also lost Philip Broberg. He got hit into the boards by Mark Stone in a moment that really ticked off Blues fans. They had just learned that Broberg had signed a 6-year contract extension. And after that, he gets drilled by Stone, who has been a problem for a long time. The Blues fans, he is enemy number one over on that Vegas team. So Braden Schenn decided to drop the gloves and pummel Stone a little bit. Stone did not look very good after Schenn beat him up yesterday. So, you know, we're going to look at that a little further. We're going to wait until 10:45 to hear from Doug Armstrong and some of the players and Coach Jim Montgomery. But the Blues, after winning back-to-back games at home, go on the road and lose 3 in a row. I'll maintain something is not right with the Blues. Maybe they're just not good, but they just look extremely off to me. And I trace it all the way back to losing at the last second to Winnipeg. I just think that haunts the team. And, you know, they're going to come home and play back-to-back games here against Carolina and Tampa Bay. And, I wish the best for the Blues, but they just don't seem like a team. The Colorado game is the one that did it for me. Just when you thought maybe they're starting to get some pieces back together, they didn't look like they belonged on the same ice, the same sheet of ice as the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, that was just embarrassing. Not to mention the Blackhawks scored a touchdown on them. Right now, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships going on at Enterprise Center, the final day. The Olympic team will be announced later today. We'll have all of that news on KMOX. And some big signings, one of them which has gone down and another one which is in the works, according to reports. Let's do the in the works one. And that would be that, according to multiple reports yesterday, St. Louis City SC is on the verge of signing a midfielder. And a good one from the New York Red Bulls, Daniel Edelman, a 22-year-old who was the U.S. youth national team captain at the U-20 World Cup, and he is finalizing a deal with City, according to Tom Bogert, was the first that I saw with this report. The MLS insider also does a lot of work just in the soccer community with the U.S. men's national team, and that Edelman will be joining St. Louis City SC soon. No official word. St. Louis City SC, by the way, was in full attendance at the Herman Trophy Awards on Friday night. You had coach, you had sporting director, you had the front office. It was great to see everybody over there. Johan DeMay, you had Corey Ray, and you had so many others gathered there. It was nice to see the support they have for college soccer and the men's and women's winners on Friday night at the Missouri Athletic Club. The other signing would be Alex Bregman, who has agreed on a 5-year, $175 million deal with the Chicago Cubs. And the third baseman, it's not official yet, but the free agent third baseman, it broke yesterday during the Bears game, actually, that Bregman was headed to the Cubs. We'll talk to Chaim Bloom on the way at 11:30 here on Sports on a Sunday morning. And we'll also get into a college basketball visit with Josh Schertz at 10:30. We're going to talk Blues at 10:45. NFL playoff picks at 11:05. Don Fisher, the voice of the Hoosiers, at 11:15. Chaim at 11:30. Bernie at 11:45. Big show. Hope you enjoyed the world's longest sportscast. we didn't even get into some other things. I know you're hankering for that NBA rundown and other stuff, but I can't do it all. But I will leave some hanging out there for later in the show. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be back with you. A sad note yesterday, after all of the sports and all of the fun that was happening yesterday and the days before. Of course, my Indiana Hoosiers going to the national championship game and a lot of fun. My friends and I were quickly hit with the sobering news that one of our favorite musicians had passed away, Bob Weir. One of the founding members of the Grateful Dead, passed away at the age of 78. Bobby was not only an influence to all of us musically, but he was someone that was famously a sports fan in the Bay Area. And I thought that, you know, a lot of things I thought very highly of Bob. After Jerry Garcia passed away in the 90s, Bob took over the Grateful Dead. And while a lot of people, you know, I think thought of the Dead as Jerry Garcia's band, Bob was able to keep it moving in a new direction to where I feel like generations of fans who weren't alive when Jerry was alive are Grateful Dead fans, in part because of Bob's energy towards keeping that band going and bringing together new people to play their music. But I go back to him being a sports fan, and I always enjoyed the TV shots, the fan shots of seeing Bob there, or if he was on the field singing the national anthem or what have you out in the Bay Area. Big 49ers fan, big Giants fan. SportsCenter did a really good job, I thought, this morning on the life of Bob Weir.
Weir, guitarist, singer, and founding member of the Grateful Dead, has died at age 78. In a statement, his family said Weir had beaten cancer but succumbed to underlying lung issues. Weir joined the band in 1965 at just 17 years old.
Trev, the Dead were known as the kings of psychedelic rock, selling millions of records, entertaining maybe the most dedicated fans of music at concert worldwide for decades. Weir was a passionate sports fan known for following San Francisco teams. He called himself, quote, a pathological fan of the 49ers. He said it started during childhood. Weir often wore Niners gear on stage, was a regular on the sideline at big games. In 2014, Weir compared his music to the 49ers dynasties.
I love playing in bands. Everybody has to feel each other and work with each other and improvise as one. Any of the other greats in 49er history had something of that quality. They loved the game for what football is. It's such a complex sport. You need your buddies to do exactly what you know they're going to do. You have to improvise in a way that your other guys are going to understand it and be able to intuit what you're going to be doing. And that's what makes greatness. And the 49ers were able to achieve that. That's when football gets really good. It's glorious to watch.
49ers tight end George Kittle, on the eve of playing the Eagles in Philadelphia, on his IG story posted a picture of Bob with a broken heart emoji. Weir's from the Bay Area, but on the East Coast, he was honored by the Empire State Building, donning tie-dye colored lights in honor of Bob. Weir is survived by his wife, Natasha, and their daughters, Monet and Chloe. Bob Weir, dead at age 78.
Really nice job there by SportsCenter on the life of Bob Weir.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
We will take a break. When we come back, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens, Josh Schertz, on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Let's get right into it with the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. Our Billiken Report is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri, and we welcome back into the show the head coach at SLU, Josh Schertz. Coach, great to have you. Congrats on the win over LaSalle, 84-72.
Appreciate it, Tom. Happy to be on. We're getting ready to hopefully fly back. I had some mechanical issues yesterday, so we're here in Philly still, but planning on getting on back to the Lou here soon.
I appreciate that update and safe travels as you finish out on the East Coast there. You beat LaSalle. Might not have been your prettiest game, but you know what? In the end, the scoreboard shows 84-72, and I'll tell you, let me start with something that was very pretty. Have you seen SportsCenter yet? They put Kellen Thames in the SportsCenter top 10. What a ridiculous Harlem Globetrotters save to hit Quentin Jones for the layup.
Yeah, how about that? I don't know. I was shocked it wasn't number one. That was about as impressive a play as I've seen. I mean, to be on the full run, get the deflection, full run, jump in the air, go between the legs, and throw a dot to Quentin Jones led us to a transition layup. So, you know, it was a remarkable play. And, you know, I the first half, you go back, you watch the game, and you know, I didn't think our defense was awesome in the first half. In the first 5 or 6 minutes, I thought from there, it was really, really good. I mean, you walk out of the first half, they're shooting 24%, they have 24 points. And I thought we did a really good job. We had a stretch offensively. I thought we weren't great. Again, first 8-10 minutes, and I thought we really got humming in transition and our movement in the half court and played with some purpose for us. Second half, I thought our offense was good to start, first 12, 13 minutes, and we're up 24. And then I thought our defense the whole second half was bad. Down the stretch, last 7 minutes, we were pretty poor on both ends. But, you know, as you said, I mean, this LaSalle team's a team that, you know, plays really hard. They're athletic. They have good players. They're well-coached. They have an identity. They're a team that, you know, George Mason came in here and, you know, LaSalle led for 37 minutes. They had the lead in the final 2.5 minutes. You know, they went to G-Dub had a lead with 10 minutes to go at their place. And so it's a good team. It's a good win. But certainly we want to play to a standard for the entire, you know, 40 minutes and have accountability to that and regardless of, you know, score. And I thought we were sloppy second half, certainly defensively the whole half, and last 7 minutes offensively.
Well, no question, when you play an A-10 team, you have to play a full 40 minutes no matter who it is. And against you, I mean, if you're going to beat St. Louis University, you better be ready to go for 40 because your team can score in bunches. To flip on to the offensive side, I mean, you had a 20-point lead at halftime, a 19-4 spurt, as you mentioned, locking down defensively, just one field goal for LaSalle over the final 5 minutes of the opening frame. I mean, that is just remarkable. Yep. And I thought Quentin was a big part of that. I mean, a Q with a pair of big baskets, then that three by Sharma. That was a fun spurt.
Yeah, when we get when we're engaged, and I mean, you know, I don't want to make it like, I mean, look, we're second in the country in effective field goal defense, and we're second in the country in effective field goal offense. So it's not like, you know, I mean, we're pretty good on both ends. But, the defense triggers the offense in that segment. I mean, it was, you know, our defense and our rebounding. You know, now we're out in transition. I thought, you know, we talked about the play with Kellen. You know, we had a great, you know, spray ahead and throw across to Eshaun. You know, got the ball downhill in transition. But it all started with our defense. I thought in that segment, you know, we were elite defensively. We really were. We were, you know, LaSalle's a big paint team. I thought we kept them out of the paint. I thought we did a great job of closing off possessions. And in that spurt, I thought we were about as you know, we were elite on both ends of the floor, which is what we're trying to play to, is get to our identity offensively, our identity defensively, and as much of the 40 minutes as we can get to. And, you know, and that stretch, we certainly were to that, and that's where the game opened up. You know, Brady Dunlap, couple big shots. We offensive rebounded. You know, there's a number of things in that stretch I thought we did at a much higher level than we did in the second half.
When you look at the fouls, what concerns you there? I mean, here we are with 26 of 39 at the line for LaSalle and 16 of 22 for St. Louis. I mean, that's a big difference there. Are you concerned about that, and how do you analyze it?
Yeah, you know, you're gravely concerned about it. You know, because really the 39 to 22, I mean, one of their, you know, two of our free throws were a technical foul on them. So it wasn't a foul. You know, it was just a technical foul on them. So really, you know, if you're looking at free throws inside the game, it was, you know, it was 39 to 20. So they basically doubled us in free throws. And, you know, and then VCU, I mean, it finished 24 to 16, but they fouled us three times in the last 90 seconds to, you know, because we were up, they were trying to foul to get back in the game. And so really in the guts of that game, it was 24 to 10. And the same thing was true at St. Joe's at home. So, yeah, you know, it's an unsustainable, you know, way to play. I mean, I've got to look at it from, you know, how much of those are we fouling? I've done this a long time. I've never seen, you know, such a disparity in free throws. But three games in, I think it's, you know, 87-49. And again, out of those 49, you know, six are late against VCU and two are on a technical foul against LaSalle. So it's really, you know, 87-41. And you know, I've got to figure it out. We've got to obviously try to do our part, which is play without, you know, fouling. We certainly got to be better at getting fouled. I feel like we're driving it. I feel like in all three games, we've, you know, been the more forceful team. If you look at, you know, points in the paint, we've kind of dominated that in all three games inside the league. And, you know, in the 13 games we played prior to going in the league, it wasn't an issue. So I don't know if it's changed. We're fouling more, if, you know, and we're getting fouled less or, but, you know, it's something we're looking at. I'm certainly trying to talk to, you know, the people, you know, in the A-10 office about, you know, what we need to do on our end. And certainly, you know, see, if, you know, why we're not getting fouls when we're driving and there's contact, and why we are getting called for fouls. And again, what can we do to clean it up on our end? What can we do to be, you know, and get foul calls on the other end? And then, you know, again, I just, you know, usually, you know, it's not, you know, but normally the fouls are usually free throws, usually close to even or in the ballpark to even most games, you know, where you have three games in a row where there's a massive disparity. You know, it's certainly a cause for concern, not something that's sustainable for us to keep winning if we're going to give up, you know, 15 to 20 more free throws every single game than our opponent.
Josh Schertz, last thing is, you have a game on Wednesday night against Fordham. Look at Fordham. I mean, what did we just say about the A-10? You can't sleep any time. I mean, St. Bonaventure is considered to be an upper-level team in the league, and they get beat at home by Fordham, 81-77 yesterday. Here we go with a huge game at Chaffetz on Wednesday, and I bet you'd love to see a big crowd like you had on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, absolutely. Fordham, you know, Mike's done a really good job there. He's a great coach. They've got really good team. He's done a wonderful job with them. And so they were close. You know, they went into Dayton. I think they lost by 5 or 6 at Dayton. And then they go into St. Bonaventure, get a big win, and they'll be coming here certainly, you know, flying with confidence. And so, yes, you know, excited to get back home. Would love to see our crowd, you know, rocking. Like I said, when Chaffetz is going, I've been at VCU. I've been at Dayton. I'd put Chaffetz up there at the top of the list of any venue in the league. When it's full in terms of the acoustics and how loud the fans are and the energy they provide. So, you know, big time home court advantage. You know, it's a great time to have it here as we get into the, you know, the depths of conference play. So hopefully fans come out and support it. I do think Fordham's got a really good team. I think Mike does a good job with them. It'll be a really challenging game. As you said, every game in this league, you know, is conference play is just unique, you know, and so we'll have to be ready. Looking forward to getting home. Guys have a day off today, and then we'll get prepped starting on Monday here for a really good team.
Yeah, it should be fun. I think at the end of the season, when you have your end of the season Billiken highlight reel, there should be an interlude of just Thames. Just Thames, yeah. Just doing crazy stuff, you know?
Every game, there's at least one, usually more than one, but every game there's at least one crazy Kellen Thames play that he does that, you know, nobody else in, you know, nobody else can make. I don't know anybody else in college basketball that can do some of the things that he does, and certainly we're lucky to have him. We know that, and he's been a huge part of this run, and if we're going to do what we hope to do, he's going to be a big part of spearheading that.
Enjoy the conversation as always, Coach. We'll see you Wednesday.
Sounds good, Tom. See you Wednesday. Take care.
Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens, with us. Our visit sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We'll check in with the St. Louis Blues when we come back. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be back with you with our producer, Drew Young. I am Tom Ackerman. We have now a little discussion going down about hockey, and coming up next hour, we will dive into all kinds of stuff, including the NFL playoffs. We'll go back into that. The games yesterday were crazy, and there will be some more today, including three big ones that I will pick at 11:05 and one tomorrow night as well. So I'm going to do all four of those. Then at 11:15, Don Fisher, the voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, will be with us back on the show again as Indiana takes on Miami in the national championship on the 19th. At 11:30, Cardinals president of baseball operations Chaim Bloom and Bernie Miklas at 11:45. That's a pretty good hour, I got to say. Now, the Blues late last night, played Vegas, and they lost the contest. Final score was 4-2, but I think of bigger concern even than that is the loss of Philip Broberg. Not sure yet how long he's going to be out, but he was hit by Mark Stone. Stone then was beaten up by Braden Schenn in a fight in that first period, but it was very early in the game where Broberg, who had just inked a 6-year contract extension with the Blues for $48 million, was hit by Stone into the boards and left the game. Here's Coach Jim Montgomery.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, to lose Broberg. I mean, really excited to play. The team was excited for him after announcing his extension, you know, and unfortunately he got injured there. We had to go down to 5D in 3 and 4 nights.
How is he?
He's doing all right. You know, we'll have to see day by day here, see how he responds tomorrow.
Last night, Snuggerud takes a tough hit. Schenner sticks up for him. Tonight, it's Broberg. Schenner sticks up for him. Just, I mean, what more can you say about the leadership Schenner brings to your group?
Well, he's just an incredible teammate. You know, he wears the C for a reason here. You know, it's special to have someone like that on your team that is always going to do the right thing for his teammates.
Why do you think the momentum shifted to them after you guys got an early lead? Or did it?
No, it did. I think, you know, the last 10 minutes of the first period, the territorial advantage, we had trouble getting out our end, and it felt like the entire second period was in our end.
Did you see enough urgency after you fell behind?
Yeah, I thought that in the third period, I thought we pushed. We didn't generate enough shots. We're passing up too many shots. But, you know, we did push. We had the opportunity with the pulled goalie. Unfortunately, we didn't execute, and they were able to end the game.
You wanted to see your special teams improve. Tonight you get a power play goal. You didn't give any up. Do you feel like there was some movement in that area?
I do. I thought the power play was good. You know, like I thought we looked crisp. We looked cleaner. It's a step in the right direction.
And last one, you had some good stretches of hockey on this trip. You said that about the other games, but it didn't result in wins. Just how do you kind of keep your head up and keep the boys moving to get the momentum you need?
No, I mean, this is a tough league, and you just got to keep improving daily, and you got to keep working at it together. And the only way out of it is to do it together, and that's what we'll just keep on working on.
That's Jim Montgomery, Blues coach. He said right there that Broberg was, quote, doing all right. We'll have to see how he responds tomorrow, so we hope to get some positive news from the Blues on that. Broberg, they're calling it an upper body injury. He was skating along the boards. Mark Stone, who's been known to do this, hits him into the boards. Just 1:35 into the first period, Broberg did not return to the game. Braden Schenn, as I mentioned, threw down with Stone. After the game, Montgomery with his comments, and Broberg was in the news earlier in the day with a 6-year, $48 million extension. Here is GM Doug Armstrong.
It's exciting to have him here for this year, plus six more. That basically takes him right through the meat of his prime years. And, you know, he's been one of the few bright lights in a season that hasn't gone anywhere near the way we expected. He's a player that I think on the back end we can build around. He touches right now, you know, our penalty kill, our 5-on-5 play, getting incorporated a little bit more into the power play now, which I think he will take a bigger chunk of that as time moves on. So a cornerstone player on the back end that it's nice to have in the fold. And he and I had a good conversation this staff that, you know, he's held up his end of the bargain, and now it's up to the management to hold up their end of the bargain and put a team around him that can have success.
Doug, it's Matt. Just when you look at Phillips' year last year, obviously it was a breakout year for him. But this year, when you look at what he's done, has this year really been the year that has opened your eyes to him being a cornerstone on the back end?
Yeah, I think last year we were obviously very pleased, you know, coming into a difficult situation with the offer sheet and the pressure that went with that. I thought he handled it well. And quite honestly, we wanted to take the first half of the season to allow, you know, a more normal path for him this year to see where his game was at and where we think it's trending towards. And I've been very impressed with his game. I'm very, very impressed with his demeanor, quite honestly, as much as his game. As things go awry with this year, he's one of the few people that just is able to come in every day and get do the task at hand and do it at a high level.
Doug, when you guys made the offer sheet, obviously you liked his future. You know, he's just done a remarkable job as a shutdown guy, playing the minutes and, you know, the stick. And, like, did you know he had that kind of ability and that it would come as quickly as it has?
Well, I think his draft position was indicative of how he was perceived, you know, that year. And I think that, you know, yeah, I know we thought he was going to be a very good player, whether he was going to be a 1, a 2, 3, or a 4. He's certainly into that, at worst, a 2-3 now, and trending towards a 1. That power play will help that, you know, change that narrative to a definite 1. But a player that we use in very difficult situations, defensive zone starts, you know, closing out games when we have a lead, playing against other teams' top players. So he's a, you know, I'm not surprised that with what he's doing now. And I do think, too, it's an indication that developing is not a rocket ship. It takes layers. And you know, I got to give the Oilers credit. You know, they brought him along at a pace that was good for him. And now his foundation is so strong now. And I think that's partly due to how he was brought in through proper development. And so I really believe that he's got staying power now because of his foundation.
Blues GM Doug Armstrong on the extension for defenseman Philip Broberg, 6 years, $48 million. And you can hear them talking about the value of Broberg. That's why this injury hurts them so much, an upper body injury, that they're going to try to figure out his status and give some news on that moving forward. The Blues also are having their induction ceremony tomorrow night at the Missouri Athletic Club, the Blues Hall of Fame. They're going to induct Al Arbor, Barrett Jackman, and Alexander Steen. Steen, a member of the Stanley Cup winners in 2019. He is the GM in waiting for Doug Armstrong. 12 seasons with the Blues. 12 seasons. And ranks among the all-time leaders in games played, goals, and points. He was a longtime assistant captain. Barrett Jackman was also an assistant captain for 9 seasons. 13 total in St. Louis. 803 games. the most by any defenseman in franchise history. You talk about two warriors right there in Steen and Jackman. Jackman was the top rookie in the NHL, the Calder Trophy winner in 2003, and just had a fantastic career and stays with the Blues now as their director of alumni. And Al Arbor, who was part of the original Blues, who won the conference and went on to the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years in a row. He later served as the team's head coach, and he actually went on to become one of the great coaches in hockey history, won four consecutive Stanley Cups with the Islanders. He's a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame, and Al Arbor, a foundational figure for the Blues, is now part of their Blues Hall of Fame. That induction ceremony will take place tomorrow night at the Missouri Athletic Club, and it will include Kelly Chase. He is going to receive the True Blue Award, and what a special individual he is. Just one of the great people, a radio analyst, beloved voice, ambassador for the organization, one of the toughest St. Louis Blues ever, and that fight continues as he has battled cancer, and we are all behind Kelly Chase. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our 11 o'clock hour is going to be fun. We're going to do NFL playoff picks. Don Fisher, the voice of the Hoosiers, Haim Bloom of the Cardinals, Bernie Miklas, all next on KMOX.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
All right, an hour on the clock. Here we go. A lot of stuff coming. Voice of the Hoosiers, Don Fisher at 11:15. Haim Bloom at 11:30. Bernie Miklas, 11:45. Big week for the Cardinals as the winter warm-up is approaching. We'll talk to Haim about the latest additions. I don't know if he can talk about Ryan Stanek. It hasn't been officially announced yet. So, you know, just don't be prepared for that, actually. If he says he can't comment on it, we'll just ask him in general about his direction. Still haven't inked or traded for a position player to help the big league club that I'm aware of, but we'll see if there's anything brewing from Haim Bloom. We'll talk to Bernie about it.
at 11:45. And I can't wait to catch up with Don. He is elite when it comes to calling sports, voice of Indiana University football and basketball. And he did both in a 24-hour period. He did the game down in Atlanta, and then he flew back to Bloomington and did the game yesterday, basketball game at home against Nebraska. He is something else. At the age of 75, he just keeps on moving. It is unbelievable. Right now, talk about unbelievable. What a day we had in the NFL playoffs. Let's roll the music and do some picks for the playoffs. There are a lot of things to discuss right now when it comes to this amazing sport of football. And I love college football, as you know. And I can't wait to be a Raiders fan when Fernando Mendoza gets picked number one so I can re-enter the NFL playoff craziness. I do miss it. I miss, and it's been a long time. I don't know if people realize, but the Rams ownership ripped the team out of here and went to L.A. unjustly and horribly. And all the while, even when they were here, they tanked the team on purpose so that these great sports fans of St. Louis who came out and spent their money, hard-earned money, on tailgate supplies and gas and tickets and $15 beers got to watch a horrendous football team not even sniff the playoffs. So it's been a long time. But what we see here, it can be very entertaining and gripping. And last night, a wonderful win for the Chicago Bears, which we played you some highlights earlier in the show. If you didn't catch it, you can rewind to the beginning of the program. Caleb Williams and the Bears come back, beat the Packers 31-27 in a great game at Soldier Field. Before that, the aforementioned Los Angeles Rams got the win at Carolina 34-31. Had to do it in comeback fashion, surprisingly, but they got it done. Let's talk about the four games today, and we'll start things off with today's game. Scott Jagow's Buffalo Bills are on the road to start the playoffs. They have to take on Jacksonville. Buffalo's a little banged up. Jacksonville's been hot. Hot, hot, hot. They have been on fire. They have not lost a game since November 9th when they fell at Houston. That's right. They have won 8 in a row. Just an unbelievable, a wagon, as they like to say. That's what the kids say these days. Buffalo's going to beat them. Okay, you ready? The Buffalo Bills will show up today. They're 1.5-point dogs. Take them. Bills plus 1.5. Josh Allen and the Bills are not going to miss this opportunity to make a run. I don't know if they're going to do it. I'm picking them to do it, to win the Super Bowl. Don't know. I can't look into the crystal ball for you, but I think this is their opportunity. They have the best quarterback, they have the most experienced team, and they have a team that doesn't have to contend with Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. They're all out of it. This is the alley now. This is the opportunity to get it done. Bills plus 1.5 today at Jacksonville. 3:30 kickoff, San Francisco at Philadelphia. It's hard to pick against the Eagles. They are so good at home this time of year. They make games ugly. They just find a way to do it. I talked earlier in the 10 o'clock hour about Bob Weir, and I know that the 49ers were his love, and there will be a lot of sentiment there from the fan base and everybody else to win one for Bobby. I think they can stay in this game. I just don't know. I don't even know if they can cover the spread. I just see the Eagles kind of grinding this out and finding a way to win this, and I'm going to take the Eagles -6. Just a gut pick here. And then tonight, look, it's anybody's guess what type of Patriots team will come out tonight in a playoff atmosphere, because this group hasn't done that. I mean, Mike Vrabel is an excellent coach, but it's a different group. I still think the Patriots, even though I hate the half point here, will cover. I'm going to go Patriots -3.5 at home against the Chargers. And then tomorrow's game, the night game, you got the Texans at Pittsburgh. Houston is a 3-point favorite at the Steelers. And everybody loves to watch Aaron Rodgers, I guess. Well, not everybody. But he's got a great history through the years. I just don't know, man. He doesn't look like half the time he's even close to what he used to be. And this Houston defense, I'm surprised they're only a three-point favorite, maybe just because it's in Pittsburgh. I got Texans covering this -3 on the road at Pittsburgh. The Texans are a much better team than the Steelers are. I mean, good for the Steelers if they pull that off tomorrow. And I know it's a playoff game and the crowd and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is the NFL. I mean, these are professionals. They shouldn't be affected by that. Texans should get the job done and move on. Houston -3 tomorrow at Pittsburgh. Those are your picks, folks. Hope you enjoy. When we come back, we're going to talk some college football with Don Fisher, the voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Grape Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Here is Dante Moore, ready to take the snap, drops back, throws the football.
Wow, what a great call that is. What a great crowd that is. Listen to that noise at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, where Indiana beat Oregon 56-22 to advance to the national championship game on the 19th. And the man calling that game on Indiana University Radio Network is Don Fisher, the longtime voice of the Hoosiers, joins us once again on KMOX. Don, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
I am doing great. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I got in the car yesterday and ran some errands and I heard you calling the basketball game against Nebraska, I'm like, look at him making the trip back to Bloomington. He's back in Assembly Hall in his seat and calling some basketball. That is so impressive. I know it's what you do, Don, but you sounded great.
Well, I appreciate it. We've had a phenomenal run here, and we've never had, at Indiana University, we've never had the football season get past December, so it's pretty special to be a part of that. And of course, I've got basketball duties as well, and I take great pleasure in being able to do both at this time of my life. So it's a lot of fun, to say the least.
It is fun indeed, and you have a great time on the football broadcast. I love hearing the two of you together. Buck is just a joy to listen to, and I go back to when the team wasn't good. I mean, just hearing him groan and complain and be upset, that was good listening to me because I was feeling that way. I mean, just to put it in perspective, Don, for people who don't understand how long a grind this has been for people like you, for Buck, for all of us who have followed this football team.
Yeah, it really has been. And, you know, this is my 53rd year doing IU football and basketball games. I started in 1973 when Lee Corso was the first head coach I worked for. And it was his first season as well. And he had two winning seasons in those 10 years he was at IU. And then, of course, Sam Weitz was there for a year. And then Bill Mallory came in, and for 13 seasons, we actually had some pretty solid football. I mean, Bill was a terrific coach and old school as they get, and everybody enjoyed him. He had great respect of his players, and the fan base loved him as well. But then, of course, he kind of went afoul there at the end. He had a couple of losing seasons back-to-back, and our fan base was grumbling because we weren't going to a bigger bowl game in some of those years. And so the history of it, of course, is pretty negative, but the worst negativity came after Bill was let go. And since 1994, Indiana had three winning football seasons until last year. Three. And one of them was the 8-4 season leading up to the COVID year. And of course, in COVID, they went 6-2 that season. And there were no fans, of course, and it was the most dull and boring scenario you could imagine for a 6-win season. But at the same time, we just haven't had any success like this. And what Kurt Cignetti has done in Indiana, and I called it a renaissance without question, but what he's done here is just spectacular.
It really is. And I go back to having graduated in 97, so I was there for the final years of Mallory. I was in the room when it was announced that he was going to be out at the end of the year and the tears in his eyes and his players' eyes. I was not in the room, although I watched the press conference when Terry Heppner placed the bowl on the podium with a rose inside it and said, this is the goal. And I think about him during times like this too, the loss of Terry Heppner, because there was a little magic at that time that perhaps something could happen with this football program.
Yeah, and the saddest part of that is that Terry Heppner, who was an Indiana guy, he was from Woodburn, Indiana, up around Fort Wayne, and he was he's one of my favorite all-time people, not just coaches, but just as a person, just a wonderful man. And he had that Pied Piper in him to get players, to get them to come to IU, to talk to them and mesmerize them with how his philosophy was going to work. And I was convinced he was going to be the guy. And then, of course, he was diagnosed after his first season with brain cancer. The next year, he actually had two games he missed because of the illness. And then, of course, after the season was over with, he was in bad shape. Everybody knew that he was not going to make it. He had glioblastoma, which is basically a death sentence when you get that kind of brain cancer. And he passed away in June of the next year. And obviously Bill Lynch took over. And that first season that Bill Lynch was there, that's one of those winning seasons that Indiana had, because they went 7-5 that year. They beat their arch rival Purdue Boilermakers on a last second field goal. It was the last 20 seconds or so of the ball game in which Austin Starr kicked a field goal. And Indiana went to a bowl game. They went to the Insight Bowl and of course got beat down there. But nevertheless, it was a winning season. And that's the last one we had until Kurt Cignetti. Well, I shouldn't say that, because obviously the 2 years under Tom Allen too. But again, three seasons of winning football from 94 on, that tells you really basically all you need to know.
Yeah, the Austin Starr kick is one of your all-time great calls. And I think it was because of the emotion that was being let out at that time, you know, knowing that maybe this is it, that they can do this. And you mentioned Bill and Kevin and Tom and everybody who tried to carry the torch, and now Kurt Cignetti. And describe what it was like, Don. We just played the call, but from your perspective, to be there in the building on Friday when D'Angelo Pons jumped the route, picked it off, and ran it in for a touchdown.
Well, as you heard, I went nuts. So did Buck. I mean, it was such an unbelievable play to start a ball game against a team like that, because Oregon's a really good football team. And anybody that doesn't believe that really doesn't know what they're talking about, because this is one of the better teams and one of the better programs in the country right now. But the fact of the matter is, to start it that way, and basically it didn't deflate Oregon, because they came right back down and scored in their first drive of the ball game and tied it up. But you just knew what Indiana was doing in this contest was going to win it over at the end. And of course, it ended a lot sooner probably than the Oregon fans would have liked, because they were not really in the ball game in the second half.
How does Miami beat Indiana? And if we look at these two teams right now, we're going to really dig in. I know Cignetti's been digging in for the last 48 hours plus. But what does Miami do well, and what should Indiana be concerned about?
Well, I think their defense is really good, and I think it's really physical. They are a very physical football team. And the one thing that struck me in watching them against Ole Miss, I was surprised at how many mistakes they made and still were able to win. The number of passes that were dropped or that should have been intercepted by their defense and those kinds of things. But the thing that does concern me about them is they are a really physical defense, and they're going to try and get to our quarterback. And Fernando is, of course, a guy that has run really effectively this year, even though he was running for his life all last season. He was sacked like 40-some times when he was at California. But he knows what he's doing out there. Always your concern is, and I'm not bragging here, Tom, in any way, shape, or form, but I don't believe Indiana's going to get beat in this game. I just don't. I have the same feeling I had when Bob Knight was the head of basketball coach in Indiana in 29 seasons. Every time I did a ball game for Indiana in that time period under Knight, I thought Indiana could win and would win. But I feel exactly the same way about Kurt Cignetti. I just think the guy is so good, so smart. and is obviously so committed to what he does and his process and how he goes about coaching and running the program and all those little things that people don't know about behind the scenes. This guy is just remarkable. And I know Miami's good. I think they're a good football program. Obviously, Cristobal has done a great job with the program and gotten it back to where people want that program to be, the U, as we all say, with the quotation marks on either side of the U. But I just don't believe that Indiana has any real weaknesses. I think they're a football team that is built on their strategy. The things that they do defensively just awes me, because I think Brian Haynes is the best defensive coordinator in the country based on how he gets his defenses up and ready to play and the things that he does to disrupt quarterbacks and those kinds of things. So, you know, as much as I want to say, I think Miami's got a really great football team, and I'm sure they do. I just don't think they can beat us. I just don't.
Indiana has Cignetti. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, then final thing here, if you could take us behind the scenes a bit, because I think that people look at Cignetti on the sideline and they see his preparation and his game management and think he is a human analytics machine. I mean, he just has this incredible brain, but I suspect there's another side of him, because Don, you can't just recruit great players. You have to recruit players that fit what you want to do. And I sense that he has a great eye for the human element of the game as well. What is he like as a people person, people skills?
Oh, he's great. I mean, he's consumed with football. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And anybody that's met him would tell you first thing that he is consumed with football. But he is a guy that understands what he needs to do. He's a social guy. When you're around him, he greets people. He's not afraid to sign autographs. He does the things that he's expected to do, of course. And then he gets right back to football again. But in my interviews with him over the 2 years he's been here, I find him to be very personable and very honest. One of those guys that doesn't mince words. He tells it just exactly how he sees it. And that's one of the reasons I think fans have fallen in love with the guy, because when he goes out there and tells you that he thinks his football team is going to win a ball game, he's dead on. And he hasn't said anything in the 2 years I've been here that he hasn't backed up with the actions and with the ability to rein his team into the point where they are ready to play every time out and they are ready to win every ball game that they play. That's the thing about him. And again, like I said, he's consumed by football, Tom. I'll just tell you that right now. But he is not above the social aspect of it either.
Can't wait to get down there. I look forward to catching up with you. I'll drop in and try to see you while all the chaos is going on. It's the Hoosiers and the Hurricanes down in Miami. And thanks so much. It's great to hear you on KMOX again.
Well, thanks for having me, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Great to visit with the voice of the Hoosiers, Don Fisher, on KMOX. When we come back, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations Chaim Bloom will be with us. You're listening to the Stiefel Sports Studio.
It's Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. It's 11:30 on the dot. And welcome in Cardinals President of Baseball Operations Chaim Bloom. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Chaim. How are things?
Doing all right. How are you?
Doing great. It's great to visit with you. As the Cardinals get closer to winter warm-up, it'll be your first as president of baseball operations. The fans are going to be back in town, players, alumni, front office, manager Ollie Marmol, etc. What are your impressions so far of what that all means and what that'll look like?
You know what? I'm really excited for it. It's actually something I haven't gotten to experience, even having been in the organization a couple of years, and heard so many good things about just everything it offers. Obviously excited to see a lot of our staff and a lot of our players start getting some excitement built for spring training. You know, during the off season, we communicate with those guys all the time, but they're not with us every day. So to have a lot of them under one roof will be exciting. And especially just to interact with our fans. I've gotten to do that increasingly over the past couple of years, just being in the community. But obviously this is going to bring a lot of people together in one place, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
I know that they have all kinds of opinions and thoughts. They're good fans. I mean, they know the sport as well as any fan of any sport, I would say. Cardinals fans go back generations. Just in general, what do they say to you when you visit with fans? What are people asking you, wanting to know, and what do they think about the club?
Yeah, really good question. It varies person to person, obviously. And, you know, I've come to learn over time, people will say different things to your face than they might say behind a keyboard, so to speak. You know, you leave it up to you as to speculate which is more true to life. You know, in general, I think the big thing is exactly what you said. This is a fan base that is absolutely locked in on this team. This, you know, I've talked about this before. Obviously, it's no secret. We haven't had the attendance recently that we've had prior. We really just need to earn our fans back. And that's something that, you know, I hope we will be able to do as we work to deliver those results that we and everybody all want in the coming years. But loving this team, caring about this team, there's not an on-off switch for that. It's not optional. It's something that, you know, when you're a fan, you're a fan for life. And I just want to respect and honor that by being as upfront as I can. The thing that I've noticed is when you have a fan base that is this devoted to the team, they're paying very close attention. They just want to know what's going on. They want candor. They want honesty. And I've done my best and will continue to do my best to provide that.
Well, I appreciate that. And I know the fans do. They appreciate this segment. You've been very transparent with us. I know that there are rules, and you probably, I'm going to guess, can't talk about the various reports, many widely reported, that you've landed Ryan Stanek, the hard-throwing right-hander. Is that the case? I haven't heard any official announcement that you can't comment?
Yeah, you are right. I can't address that report specifically, but we've said all winter that having experience in that bullpen is really important, not just because of what players with that experience can bring to you on the field, but also because of the example, the leadership, the mentorship they can provide to a young group. We've seen that the last couple of years. We've been fortunate to have some great veterans in there. It's something that I've seen not just here, but really everywhere I've been, that usually even when you have a young group out there, a good pens come together better when you have someone who's been there, done that, can lighten the load, can show people how to handle those ups and downs as they're learning to do that. You know, it's something that I think is an important aspect of a lot of really good bullpens. So we've definitely been on the lookout this winter to try to bring that in.
And Justin Brule is one of those, somebody who grew up in the Dodgers organization. That lefty is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it, Haim? Getting right into your bullpen with some experience.
Yeah, and we saw a chance here to snag someone and bring someone onto our 40-man roster that we think is a chance to help us from the left side, as a chance to compete for a role. And we do like a lot of the talent we have with our young relievers, but we're a lot more right-handed, just generally speaking. So adding left-handed depth is really helpful. Justin's been a few different places in his career, and we do think he has a chance to really help us, and excited to have him come in the spring and compete for a job.
You also announced that you made agreements whole with a number of players on one-year deals to avoid arbitration. Alec Burleson, Brendan Donovan, Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore, Lars Nootbaar, Andre Pallante, Jojo Romero, all have been in agreement now with the Cardinals. I would imagine this is twofold. Arbitration's not fun, not a fun process to have to go through. Two, you wanted to have everything in place as you continue to look around here in this offseason for help.
Yes, it's always ideal to get to settlements. You're exactly right. Arbitration is not a lot of fun, at least in my view, for a few reasons, not least of which is I never like any process that puts us really sitting across the table from our players. We like to think that most of the time our goals are aligned. We're trying to help them be as good as they can be. But this is a process where just, you know, by its nature, obviously, when you're determining salaries, sometimes it puts you in opposition to them. And, you know, you have to represent, you know, it's really kind of it's a unique process. It's a little bit of a convoluted process with some weird aspects to it that determine where people slot in that salary structure. Sometimes you just don't see the world the same way, and that's when you have to go to a hearing and have a third party decide it. But you'd always like to find common ground. And my view of it is we never want to do something that we don't think can be justified within the system. And if you have to go to a hearing, you're just not seeing the world the same way, then you do it. But if there's something you could squint at and say that it looks fair and the other party's doing the same, maybe everybody gets a little uncomfortable. But if you can come to a settlement where everybody feels like it's fair enough, then it's much better to go for that and then get back on the same side of the table with our players and work towards trying to help them get as good as they can be and so they can help us win.
I heard from some fans that are ready for you to bring in a position player. They're getting a little antsy on that. Matt, some of that might have to do with the fact that a report came out about Alex Bregman and the Cubs. But anyway, Where are you on position players when you look around and see what you might be able to add? Is the market good there? Is it favorable for you at the moment?
Yeah, we're not super close on anything there, but we've been active in discussions, and obviously there's some balls in the air with our own guys as well, just trying to see how that all settles. I do think when it's all said and done, we will have added to the position player side of the group. You know, I've obviously talked about that. You and I have talked about that in past weeks. We just haven't done it yet, but it's definitely something that we're looking at, working on, and working to do, whether, you know, that comes through free agency, through trade. I don't know. We certainly do like a lot of our position players here. Coming into the winter, felt that the pitching side of it was what needed more beefing up. But we do, you know, especially having moved from our position player group to this point, we do want to add to it as well. And I do expect we'll do that, you know, by the time we get hopefully to Jupiter and certainly to opening day.
Jupiter is fast approaching. How does that all work for you in terms of minor leagues? Do you have everything settled in terms of your minor league coordinators, leadership? Are you still adding to your development? I guess that you're always sort of adding, but are you happy with how everything is in place in terms of a coaching standpoint? It certainly seemed like you wanted to add as much as possible throughout the minor league organization.
Yeah, very much so. And we are so fortunate to have the support of ownership as we continue to build out this organization. It's not something we take for granted, knowing obviously a lot of the challenges that the organization is facing, that they'd be willing to invest in that because they know it's our lifeblood. So we obviously started that process last year. We were able to continue it this year. You know, never say never, but we did really roll out a staff that we feel is a complete staff, that this is our minor league player development and performance crew for 2026, and really excited about it. Much like last year, you know, I think we're going to have a really good mix of people who have been here, returning Cardinals, whether they're in the same spot or whether they're taking on new challenges, and also some great newcomers to the organization in different spots, whether it's on our affiliate staff, whether it's in our coordinator and leadership group. Really exciting. You know, so much of the goal here since we started this project has been to take the perspectives and the experiences of people from different places, whether they are lifelong Cardinals or whether they're new to the organization, combine all those things to try to push us somewhere that's better than where any one individual has been before. That's just what the game demands. That's what we have to do because it's so competitive to try to get the most out of our players. We were really happy with some of the strides we made in 2025, but we know there's so much more work left to do, and we're excited for this staff to take us forward and hope to get to new heights in 2026.
And from a major league staff standpoint, how does that look as you head into 2026? And what have your offseason conversations with Ollie Marmol been like? I noted that the two of you were pretty much on the same page last season before you officially took over as president of baseball operations.
Yeah, and that relationship is so important, as you know, and it was really cool to be able to start building that, just to get to know each other, you know, see that there was a lot of alignment, and we've continued to build that as we've gone through the off season. We've really had conversations with the whole staff about how we can get better just in executing on our plans to help our players, how we can take some of the lessons that we learned and some of the things that we were able to implement at the minor league level, figure out how to apply some of those lessons at the major league level, because player development is not something that can stop at the big leagues. You know, sometimes you talk about player development and it's kind of a shorthand for your farm system. And, you know, that there's good reasons for that, obviously. But if we view this as something where when our players get to the big leagues, they're done developing, then we're just going to get beat. We know we have to continue to help them improve. The industry showing us that. I don't know that there's been a time in the history of this game when teams have been this ambitious and this dedicated to continuing to improve our players. It's not just the X's and O's and where you make, you know, which moves in game. It's also trying to structure each day so that players can get better, so that you can work towards goals that you agree on with the player and help them continue to improve. That's especially important with a young team, but it can really happen at any point in a player's development. And so we're really excited to do that. The staff's been great with being very open and participating a lot and figuring out how we can set things up behind the scenes to help us do that. And I'm excited as we continue to work on that.
Well, it's interesting you say that. You kind of read my mind there, because I often say what they want to do here is get this to a point where players can plug right into the big leagues and help this team win championships. They've got to stop getting to the point where they're still working on a player's fundamentals at the major league level. What you're saying is, yes, but we have to develop players on the go. I mean, even somebody like a Paul Goldschmidt if he got into a rut, had to have people he could lean on to get himself out of that. I mean, even at his level, an MVP like Goldie.
Yeah, it's not either or. It really has to be both. Obviously, we want to do everything we can as an organization to make sure that when players are called upon to help us in the big leagues, when they are brought up, that they're ready to compete at this level, at the toughest level of baseball in the world. And so that obviously is our responsibility as an organization, to do everything we can to make that happen and develop and produce as many well-rounded players as we can. But then when they get here, that journey has to continue. You obviously want players who are motivated to do that. The number one most important person in a player's development is the player himself. There's no question about that. But we have a role to play in that too. And players are always growing and changing. I mean, a great example this year, I think, you know, a real 2025 success story, I guess now I should say last year, you saw what Burley did. This is a guy who's already good enough to play in the big leagues. Nobody was looking at this guy and saying he doesn't belong here, or, you know, he's not ready to be here. He's a good big league player. He took a real focus on honing in his strike zone and knowing that, you know, swinging more at the pitches he can damage and less at the pitches that he can't was something that could help him get to the next level as a player. He put together a really, you know, with our help and with our hitting team's help, put together a good practice plan to help work on that. And then he saw the results on field. It sounds very simple, but it's really easy at this level just to go through, you know, days, months, seasons without being as purposeful as you need to be to get to that point with a player. And we can't let that happen. That doesn't mean every time you come up with an idea that you're always going to get the types of results, the types of step forward that we saw from Burley this year. But you have a much better chance to get there if you do have that kind of purpose to how you plan and how you practice. And as an organization, we owe it not just to our players, but also to ourselves, to our fans, to do that at scale with everybody.
Appreciate it, Chaim. Good answer there. And in terms of painting that picture with Burleson and the perspective that you're trying to achieve. Thank you very much for all of it. We will see you at the warm-up. I think you and I might be scheduled for a little chat on Saturday afternoon, it looks like. So I look forward to that right here on KMOX. We will visit with you soon.
Great. Likewise, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait and hope to see everybody there.
See you over there. Chaim Bloom, President of Baseball Operations of the Cardinals. Bernie Miklas is next on KMOX.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
And here is Bernie Miklas in our final segment. We get to visit with our dear friend, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, saligaheatingandcooling.com. What's up, Bernie?
Well, just, you know, congratulations to you and every other Indiana fan out there, and actually congratulations to the whole Midwest. I think the Hoosiers kind of represent everybody a little bit, especially against Miami. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Kevin Wheeler doesn't want to hear that. But I just had somebody, David Brandon, said, enough with the IU. I'm happy for you. But geez, I looked at his profile. Oh. He's a Mizzou fan. That's fine. I understand that. But like, I didn't even talk about him except one segment with the Jack Buck of Indiana sports, Don Fisher. So sorry about that.
Great. You know, well, you know, I also think the other thing, you know, aside from Indiana or whatever teams I like or whatever. The college football national championship is huge. And whether Tom Ackerman went to Indiana or he went to Purdue or he went to New Mexico or he went to Stanford, the Indiana Hoosiers are a remarkable, remarkable generational story. There hadn't been a bigger college football story than this. In an incredibly long time, because Indiana defines the whole new era of what college football is. And so the idea that perhaps we shouldn't talk about it as much, I think it's kind of silly, but hey, more power to everybody who has an opinion. That's fine.
I know, but it's fun anyway. I like stirring things up. We do have a story here that is brewing that they could end up being one of the all-time greats. And the other thing about them is they're fun to watch. You know, they're one of those, even when they're in a blowout, you still want to watch it because it's a great brand of football. I think that one of those teams in the NFL is the Chicago Bears that's starting to catch some fire here. People are enjoying watching them rally. They are the comeback kids, and here they are again. They beat the Packers. They are in the divisional round, and my Bears friends are going absolutely nuts. I mean, they still can't believe that thing was pulled out last night.
They should. I mean, they're very entertaining. And, you know, this this combination of a head coach and a quarterback, you know, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, is something that could, at least on the offensive side, dominate the NFL or be one of the dominant coach quarterback combinations of our times, because Caleb Williams needed Ben Johnson. Caleb Williams is a really gifted guy. He's also a guy that wants to be great. I mean, he's not a knucklehead. And listen, sometimes, as you know, highly regarded rookies drafted number one overall quarterbacks, the first years can be awkward. Yeah, they're still trying to figure things out. There might be a little bit of a knucklehead moment here or there, but Caleb Williams is, you know, the bottom line is he wants to be great. He wants to be a leader. He wants to be considered, when he hangs him up, like one of the best quarterbacks of his generation. And then you have Ben Johnson. I remember Mike Martz telling me in 2023, he said, like, oh, this guy is Mike Martz used to just watch those Detroit Lions tapes because he was fascinated about how great Ben Johnson was. He said, this guy's very, very special. He's the best play caller in the NFL, and he's just getting started in that job. And there's no one more creative than him. So you take Ben Johnson, who is extraordinary in terms of offense, plus in coaching quarterbacks, and he's exactly what Caleb Williams needed. And Williams, in his second year, made light years progress. And if you're a Bears fan, what you got to love about him, like last night, you know how you can tell a quarterback is primed for greatness, who has what it takes to be great? Caleb Williams, frankly, was awful for two and a half, maybe three quarters. I mean, he just wasn't very good. Well, what do the great ones do? They shake it off. They're like, hey, man, we still have a quarter to go. We still have, you know, a quarter, maybe and a half to go. Now, this thing's not over with. And he shakes off all the negativity and everything that happened before. And then he is at his absolute best with his team about to go over the cliff. You know, if you're a Bears fan, you know, he's had seven comebacks this year. Seven, like where they take the lead with less than 2 minutes left. I mean, for a second-year quarterback, are you kidding me? So they're going to have to build a defense, but you look at those wide receivers, you look at how they run the ball. I mean, they got the makings of a very special team, provided that they get more help on their defense.
Bernie Miklas is with us. Just got off the phone with Chaim Bloom. Couldn't talk about Ryan Stanek because it hasn't been officially announced. Sure. Understand that, but he is fortifying the bullpen. I guess let me ask you what I asked him. Where are the position players, and where are they there? Are you looking for them to make a move there, or are you willing to be patient, as yeah. It sounds like he is?
Hey, I just assume he'll bring in someone, but I have no handle on, like, who that might be, whether it be a free agent, is somebody that is part of a trade that he makes. I just don't know. I don't have a feel for it. But to the fans, and I understand the fans. In fact, I'm on their side on this one. I don't expect Chaim Bloom to fix everything in one winter. But I look at that outfield, and frankly, you know, the idea that maybe they'll return with the same outfield cast intact, at least until Josh Baez gets up here. When will that be? I don't know, second half of next season, possibly. I mean, this outfield is a great, great, great source of concern, because offensively, frankly, it is terrible. I mean, in every stat that there is where you measure the Cardinals' offense from the outfield compared to the other major league outfields, it's down near the bottom. I mean, it's pretty feeble. You know, yeah, Lars Nootbaar, if he's still here, he's capable of having a better season. Jordan Walker, at some point, is going to have a better season. Victor Scott, I think, listen, we all love what he can do well, but, you know, it's the second half of last season, his offense just, you know, basically disintegrated. And, you know, for the Cardinals to become a competitive team, and I don't expect everything to be fixed this winter, but over the next year or so, when they're doing their planning for 2027, and even though Baez will be part of that mix, they're going to have to address the outfield. They just need more juice in that outfield.
And you know as well as I do that when the Cubs make massive moves like they just did in the last few days for Edward Cabrera and Alex Bregman, that irritates Cardinals fans too. Not that the Cardinals were going to compete with them this year,
right?
But it's not any less irritating.
Well, yeah, I get that too. I'm able to just sort of put it in a different part of my brain. And what I mean by that is, like, well, what the Cubs are doing in terms of trying to win right now and try to, you know, win 2027, where they're going to open up a window where they're going to go for it, it doesn't really apply to anything the Cardinals are doing. I mean, the Cardinals, even if they made, they spent some money this winter, or it, perhaps were more aggressive about getting established major league help, they weren't going to outdo the Cubs this winter. The Cubs are on a they're absolutely determined to go for it, and they're finally spending some money. But the other way I look at it too, and I know Cardinals fans don't want to hear this. And by the way, Cardinals fans can think whatever they want. I'm not telling them how they should feel. But I also look at the Cubs, and you know they're going for it now, and you know they have Bregman, who is 32 years old. Their shortstop Swanson's 32 years old. Which, when the time left on their contracts, both of those guys will be, as these years go by, you know, Bregman will be 37 in the final year of his contract. Swanson will be 37. They've got age on that team, and in some cases, by the time the Cardinals are really, really ready to win again, you know, the Cubs may be having a problem with some aging veterans who are on the downside. The thing I think the Cubs did best of all is, you know, get Cabrera, because he's a controllable starting pitcher. He's got 3 years left. He's got to be healthy, and he's got to fix his fastball. Their rotation should be good, and I think they were smart because they upgraded their bullpen. They brought in four relievers, and actually it's five if you count one other guy who probably can make their team. So, yeah, I mean, the Ricketts family finally said, okay, yeah, let's quit acting like a mid-market team. Let's actually try to win something, you know, because the Cubs can outspend anybody if they wanted to.
I've always felt that way too, you know, as a big market team in the division and the only one. They absolutely could own that thing if they wanted to. The goal here is to get the Cardinals back to being National League Central royalty and National League royalty. We'll see how long that takes, but it is a process. Bernie, it is a pleasure, as always, to be with you. We will be watching you on YouTube. We will be reading your columns, and we will be having you alongside here on KMOX. Cannot wait for a fun 2026.
My pleasure, my friend. Always great being with you.
Good to be with Bernie Miklas on KMOX Sports on a Sunday morning. Bernie's reports are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, and you got to follow him on YouTube. It's a must. Always good to be with him. He'll be on the Gas House Gang on Tuesday. Chris Ronge will be with me. Well, Ronge is going to be riled up tomorrow for the noon show as a Bears fan. Thanks to producer Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman. This has been Sports on a Sunday morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent,
I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.